4 or part 4. And the purpose of this series is to help us to understand how God speaks, to understand how to hear with our spiritual ears what God is saying. That it is critical to get this if you want to go into the deeper things of God. What you're going to hear this morning, I spent 30 hours putting together. So you may hear it in the next little bit, but if you don't re-listen, you're wasting your time. You've got to listen to it over and over until it penetrates. The whole series, actually. The whole series, because it is a way of connecting to the deep, calling to deep. We want to understand what God is saying. We want to understand. And in order to be able to do that, it takes effort. It takes effort. We're not going to get the deep things of God with a very superficial type of devotion. If you want to know God, this is the way to do it. This is the way to connect with God. This is the way to learn how to connect with God. It takes real effort. But the rewards will be overwhelming. To hear and clearly understand what God is speaking. I think that's important for all of us. So Lord, help us this morning. Help us, Jesus, to understand and to appreciate. Help us, Lord, to have a hunger for you, Jesus. A deep hunger. And help us, O God, to love your word as we love you. Please. So we don't have to turn to this, but in Psalm 42, verse 7, it talks about how deep calls to deep. And this is someone who's being mocked by others, and he's saying to God, the deep in me is calling out God to the deep in you. It's calling out to God. He wants to be in the conscious presence of God Almighty. In the book of Job, in chapter 32, verse 8, it says, there is a spirit in man, and the breath, i.e. the spirit of the Almighty, gives him understanding. So he's saying here that the Holy Spirit gives understanding to your spirit. And that there is a depth in God that is calling out to us. He's calling out to us. Because he wants to connect deeply with us. And so we're going to look at a number of scriptures this morning to talk about the riches of Christ, that the mysteries, the hidden wisdom, the pearls of God are hidden in Christ. They're in Christ, but they're not hidden from you and I. They're available to you and I. If we will go searching for them. So in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you being rooted and grounded in love. Rooted and grounded in love. Who is love? God's love. So rooted and grounded in God. And verse 16 tells us where this is going to take place. Verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit, that's by the Holy Spirit, in your inner being. So the Holy Spirit strengthening is going to happen in your spirit. That's where it's going to happen. In your spirit. That after your body is long gone and is turned into dust, your spirit and your soul will still be going strong. Every single person on this planet is going to experience some form of afterlife. Either with the Lord or somewhere else we don't want to be. In verse 18, same chapter, that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and height, to know the love of God which passes knowledge, and that you may be filled with the fullness of God. That's an amazing, amazing statement there, to be filled with the fullness of God. Now, what kind of depth is he talking about? He's talking about the depth in God, God's depth. You have a depth inside of you, and it's calling out, because that's the way you were made, to call out to the depth in God. And too often, way too often, we fill this depth with things which pacify but do not satisfy. Go back to a very familiar scripture. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, because this is pivotal in understanding how this works. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 says, "But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God." What is them? What is them? It says, God has revealed them to us. All the things He's prepared for us. We just need to back it up here. One verse. The things which God has prepared for those who love Him. What is He calling them? He calls it, in verse 7, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages." Hidden wisdom, but not hidden from us. But if you and I want this wisdom, we have got to connect with God spirit to spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will use every circumstance to draw us unto God. Deep calls to deep. Deep calls to deep. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God." Why? "That we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God." So God wants you to know. God wants you to understand. We were reading in John chapter 6 where Jesus said that you have to eat my flesh and you have to drink my blood. And for many people, they said, "It's too hard. Who can understand this?" And it goes on to say that from that point on, many of His disciples turned away. What was the problem?
Understanding.
Jesus was speaking.
Spirit.
They were listening. And so they missed. They missed what He was trying to say to them. When we read the Word of God, and we just read it with our intellect, we're reading it in the flesh. We need the Holy Spirit, and I hope that by the end of this message you'll be convinced of that. That God, His intention is that we will understand the hidden mysteries, the hidden wisdom. That we will be able to comprehend, that's His desire. That you and I will be able to comprehend the deep things of God. But it's going to take effort. It's going to take effort. And that effort will determine just how deep we go with God. God has prepared this wisdom and these hidden mysteries for you and I, but we find them or we discover them only in the depths of God. Meditation is what we do to bring to light these mysteries or hidden wisdom. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. It says, "To me," Paul is speaking, "to me who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers and the heavenly places, in the heavenly places. So he's talking about the unsearchable riches of Christ. That's the knowledge of God. Mysteries that are hidden in God. And that this wisdom of God might be made known now. Might be made known now. What's he saying? He's saying that there are things that are hidden, mysteries, riches in Christ that are hidden and have been from the natural intellect, but now God wants to make known to the world these mysteries, and he wants to do it through the church. But these riches in Christ are found in the depths of God, not in some superficial reading. You have got to dig down. In Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. That their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You see what he's trying to get across to us here? He's telling us that there are enormous wisdom, knowledge, treasures, but they are in the Father and in Christ. They're in Christ. And so he wants to reveal them to us. But the only way that's going to happen is if we can get into the treasures and the wisdom of Jesus. He's talking about a revelation of Jesus, really. A revelation of Jesus Christ. These mysteries, the hidden wisdom, they are a revelation of Jesus and all that he has done for us. But see, when the Holy Spirit begins to reveal these things, there's a supernatural grace that comes into your heart. You begin to understand it, and you start to see things that you didn't see before. For example, how many saw in John chapter 6, before I told you, that Jesus is speaking spirit and they're listening flesh? See, in the Holy Spirit, he knew that all the time. But we didn't. We didn't know till he told us. So there are things that the Holy Spirit wants to tell us, and we need to hear it. Especially when we are studying the Word, that will help us. God will help us. These truths are in the depths of God, and they are revealed when deep calls to deep. And meditation, biblical meditation, is the way that we enter into the depths of God and His Word. Because we need the Holy Spirit to impart His wisdom to our spirit. See, when we meditate in the Word, we want to enter into the very thought processes of the Holy Spirit. What's he thinking? What's he saying? What's he want to get across here? What is he trying to communicate in this passage of Scripture? What is it? What's the central thought? The river. We've talked about that before. What is the river here? The river is the flow of the central thought. It carries everything, absolutely everything. There are, of course, streams and there's tributaries, and they add to it. But they don't carry the river. The river stands by itself. For example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, tongues and prophecy are streams. They're not the river. They're not the central thought. They're tributaries. In 1 Corinthians 14, let's turn to there for a moment. And I just want to see that as God begins to reveal things, we get totally different insights. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him, however. In the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. So what are you going to tell God that's a mystery, really? What are you and I going to tell God? What are we going to tell God that he doesn't already know? Nothing. So the key here is, what does the word mystery refer to? What's it refer to? What is the biblical definition of the word mystery? And I happen to have it here. Mystery. That which being outside the range of unassisted natural apprehension. Let me say it again. It's from Vines, by the way, Vines Dictionary. That which being outside the range of unassisted natural apprehension. Now, it doesn't say you can't apprehend it. It means you can't do it with just your intellect. Vine's Expository Dictionary says that it's outside the range of unassisted apprehension, and that if you are going to think about it with just your natural mind, you're going to miss it. Just simply going to miss it. And that's how God ordained it. That we would need him, we would need his help. That it can only be made known by divine revelation and done in a manner and a time appointed by God to those who are illuminated by the Holy Spirit. We need God's help, and he wants it to be like that. He wants you and I to need his help to understand and to grasp the things that he is saying. Because there is a realm in the depth of God that you and I cannot tap into without assisted help or illumination or Holy Spirit. We need God's help. We can read and we can memorize scriptures and still miss the flow of the intent of the Holy Spirit, because it's in a realm that's beyond the natural comprehension. And what example do we have of that? In John, where they came, Jesus said to them, "You search the scriptures because you think that by reading them you're going to know everything about me, but you miss me. You've missed me completely. You've missed me." Are we familiar with that scripture? Yeah, you've missed me because you didn't do it with the help of the Holy Spirit. And we need the Holy Spirit. A mystery is a revelation about Jesus. About Jesus. You know, we start to read about things like healing and the gifts of the Spirit and all any number of topics. To really be able to lay hold of those topics, we need the help of the Holy Spirit. We need his help because he energizes the word. Jesus said, "The words that I speak to you are spirit and life." There's spirit and there's Zoe, the life of God in them. Well, if I'm going to be able to understand that, if I'm going to be able to apprehend that, what do I need to do it with? If he's speaking spirit, what do I need to speak? Spirit. How do I do that? By soaking in his presence with him. By learning to speak. Just like if you and I were going to take a course in Greek or some other Latin, okay, it would take some effort to do that. We would have to learn how to speak Latin. Well, in the same way, we need to learn how to speak in the realm of the Spirit, because that's by illumination. And it's not something that most people are used to doing. So we are dependent on the Holy Spirit, and that's what God wants. The good news is that he's more than happy to pour out his revelation. But you've got to show God you want it. And that as he reveals himself, those revelations change us. They change us. Faith begins to arise in our spirit. Understanding begins to arise in our spirit. We're hearing and seeing what God is seeing. It's like the prophet. When they were outside the city and it was besieged by an army to come and destroy them, What did he say to his servant?
Come more with us than the name.
He said to God, open his eyes so he can see. Now they were there all the time, but he couldn't see them. He couldn't see them, but they were still there. Just because you and I don't see something clearly does not mean it doesn't exist or that it's not there. When God opens your eyes, you begin to see things. But who does God fellowship with? Who does he fellowship with? Shall we say, let's see, Isaiah 57:15? Is that my... somebody read to me Isaiah 57:15, please. Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15.
For thus says the high and lofty one, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him who has a contrite and humble spirit.
Keep going.
To revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones.
Now go to Isaiah 66, verse 2. So what's he saying to us? You want to fellowship with God? You understand God? What's the requirements?
Humility.
Humility is one. What else? A repentant heart. A repentant heart. Not a heart that justifies, no, it's not my fault, but a repentant heart. A soft heart before God. A soft heart. Last night after prayer, I was reading, and there were two scriptures that really stuck out to me. One is Psalm 51, verse 17. And I thought, boy, isn't that amazing? You know, the sacrifices for God. A lot of people think that if they give a lot of money to God, you know, that's a big sacrifice. If they build him something, if they're serving him, if they're doing this, if they're doing that for him. And I'm not saying any of those things are wrong, but here's what God says. The sacrifices of God that God desires, and it's Psalm 51:17, are a broken or humble spirit, a broken spirit and a contrite, repentant heart. That's what God sees as a sacrifice that's worthy for him. And another one that really stuck out for me last night as well is Psalm 66, verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. These are all scriptures that factor in when we're trying to get into the presence of the Lord, when we want to fellowship with God in deep calls to deep. We can't just simply decide this as, well, you know, today, God, I'm going to give you a chance. I remember one time when going to the hospital, was a man dying of cancer. I don't know if you were with me or not, but he was at the Civic. Anyway, we were asked to come and pray for him. We didn't know who he was, but we had a prayer team at the time. So we went to the hospital and went into his room and said, you know, we've come to pray for you for healing. And he said, no, don't bother. I said, we were asked to come. He said, no. He said, I gave God his chance to heal me and he blew it. So, it's over. Now, that's the gospel truth. That's what the man said. And he died shortly thereafter. Having a proper attitude towards God is not only essential, it's mandatory. Mandatory. We don't tell him anything. We don't. We listen. And if we listen carefully, we can learn some things. Especially about what God thinks. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 25 to 27, Paul again speaking, he says, I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to
who?
To us, as saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. So what is the mystery? Christ in you. It is the secret or hidden truths that are all revolving around Christ. Who is Jesus? What has he done? What has he made available to us? God wants to reveal Jesus to us and all that Jesus has accomplished. Not to our intellect, but to our spirit. Spirit to spirit. All of the depths of the wealth of God are hidden in Christ. The rich spiritual abundance of God is hidden in the knowledge of Christ. And we need it. You and I, we need it. And it's the depths on the inside of God that are transferable. Not to your mind, but to the depths inside of you through your spirit. Does that make sense to us? I can see a bit of a glaze forming, so I'll do one more scripture and I won't finish. Ephesians chapter 1. Because this will tie it in well. Ephesians chapter 1. And verse, where do we start here? 17. Well, he's talking about a prayer here. It's a prayer. Paul's making a prayer. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. What does that mean? Why would you need the spirit of wisdom and revelation if you've got the knowledge? Why would you need it? Is he being redundant? Why would he say that? But that's what he's saying, isn't it? He said that he may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now then he goes on to explain why. That the eyes of your understanding, okay, your eyes of your understanding, being enlightened, okay, being enlightened that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now, I looked up some years ago all these words, so let me give it to you in a little simpler form. All right, that the revelation, now the revelation, the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the word revelation means interpreting and unveiling hidden wisdom of God, illuminating and communicating knowledge. Knowledge that is more than just acquiring information. It's a knowledge that directly and powerfully impacts the daily life of the learner. And it says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. It means to cause to see what was not seen before. The eye of the heart is the power of perceiving and understanding of my heart so that it may be enlightened, so that I will know the hope. The hope is the full extent of his calling, the possibilities in and through Christ, and what are the riches being the wealth and the abundance of the glory of the true and unchanging inheritance in the saints. See what he's saying there with that? That information, Bible knowledge by itself is wonderful, and it's great to read it, but without the Holy Spirit, it doesn't turn into Zoe. And we need it to. We need it to. The good news is it's available to any one of us who will pay the price. Anyone. Anyone who will pay the price. But there is a price. There is a price. It's deep calls to deep. The Holy Spirit calling to your spirit and saying to you, If you invest yourself in me, if you will invest your time in me, I will reveal to you wonderful hidden mysteries in Christ. I will reveal things to you that others won't get. I will bring into your spirit a revelation of Jesus that you don't have now. That's what he's offering to us. That's a pretty remarkable offer, isn't it? Does that make sense to you what I'm telling you this morning? That I know, you know, we've covered a lot of scripture, but the essence of this morning is that there are things in God's word that are mysteries, they're hidden wisdom, call it whatever you like. He calls it mysteries and hidden wisdom and riches in Christ. That's what God calls it. What he's saying is that all of these wonderful treasures that are in Christ, I'm prepared to reveal them to you. I'm prepared to reveal to you things about Jesus that you don't know about, or you only know with your head. And it'd be like John chapter 6, where you read through something and you think, what on earth is he talking about? I'm not a cannibal. You understand me? But when God starts to unfold something to us, we begin to see what we didn't see before. Things that just didn't make any sense start to fall into place. That's what he's offering to us. And in that process, faith begins to arise. Faith. Faith for what? Faith for whatever you need. Faith for healing. Faith for a miracle. Faith for something that you didn't have before. That's what he's offering. If you will invest yourself. If you'll invest yourself. Just like when we read, what was it, Luke 16 some time ago? It was Luke 16. Well, to get to the river of Luke 16 took time, didn't it? It took time of reading it, rereading it, rereading it, and praying over it, and searching and connecting and reading other verses. But eventually, it came down to one word. The entire chapter came down to one word. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. I know some people thought stewardship, but you can be a good steward or you can be a bad steward. But faithfulness is faithfulness. One word. But that didn't show up because it talks about divorce in it. It talks about this, talks about that, talks about a manager of money and so forth. But the Holy Spirit was communicating one thought in it. And he was more than willing to reveal it to us if we'd invest in it. Which a number of us did and discovered what it was. God's offering that to you and I for his entire word. Entire word. And next time when I go ahead, I want to talk about, you know, the scripture where Paul says women should keep silent in the church. What does that mean? You know, was he telling them they couldn't speak? What was he trying to get across there? And it didn't mean they can't speak in the church. As a lot of people think it does, that's not what it meant. But we'll find that out next time. So Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that you're willing to share it with us. We appreciate that, Jesus. Help us, Father, to have the right attitude. Help us to love you and to love your word with equal fervor. We bless you this morning, Jesus. We bless you with our hearts filled with gratitude. Help us, Lord, to understand and grasp the things that we've heard. Make them real to us, please, Lord. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. Any questions? Have I completely drowned you? Yeah. I do highly recommend listening to the tape. If you can give that to Faithy after. And Faithy, if you'd put that up for us today, because you're going to have to listen to this a number of times to really get it. I recommend going right back to the beginning, because it's an investment. You know, if I said to you, you buy this stock, in 20 years it's going to be worth 50 times what you paid for it, would you buy the stock? Sure we would. Well, If you invest in this, I guarantee you it's worth a million times what you invest. But it'll take some work. Amen. God bless you.